Right, it's the part of the show where we catch up with all things technological. Fevzi Turkalp is the Gadget Detective. You can find him on Twitter, at Gadget Detective. You can subscribe to his podcasts for free as well on his website, gadgetdetective.com, or find them on Alexa, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and so on. Hi, Fevzi.
Hello, Bill.
Good to have you on. We shall get on to your gadget of the week in a few minutes. But first of all, it's your tech story of the week. And it's the UK government not joining in with something the European Union plans to do, which is perhaps not entirely a surprise. But anyway.
Who'd have thunk it? Otherwise, no point in Brexit, right? So the background to this story is that the European Union is moving towards forcing manufacturers of gadgets to have the same charging port on them so that you don't have to have a separate charger for everything. The port that they've sort of agreed upon amongst themselves is something called USB-C, which is the latest type of USB connector, which is a small oval shape rather than the big chunky rectangular shape of USB connectors in the past. And the reason for this is, you know, with all these things, be they phones or what have you, you've got some people have got proprietary charging connections on them with different voltages and currents required. Others have got micro USB. Some have got USB-C. Apple have got their own proprietary lightning system, which ironically is now really slow compared to USB-C. But, you know, there's a lot to be said for the name, I suppose. So that's what they're trying to do. And it's an interesting thing. There's lots of aspects to this story. So one of them is that if Britain doesn't follow, the United Kingdom, I should say, doesn't follow suit, then would Apple make a UK version just for us? Probably not. The other thing is that Northern Ireland is in the European trading bloc. You'll know that there's a customs border between Northern Ireland. I sent something to Northern Ireland the other day. I had to fill out customs paperwork.
Extraordinary, isn't it? Gosh. Yeah,
and the additional cost and all of that. But also it means that then there would be need to be a European version of products which included Northern Ireland. I mean, if ever there was a way of giving up Northern Ireland, this would be it. So the Northern Ireland would take European stuff, and then we'd have something that was UK minus Northern Ireland, which is kind of bizarre.
Yes.
The arguments, pros and cons, are that obviously, if you agree upon a standard, then it reduces everybody's costs, and it means that you at most you'll need another cable. You won't need another charger, you know, when you travel as well, you don't have to take a bunch of different chargers with you. So there's real benefits to it. The downside is now at the moment USB-C is sort of pretty cutting edge in terms of, you know, choice of connector. It's the correct one to choose, and they're going to put this on laptops as well. In about 40 months from now, laptops will have to have USB-C charging ports. The argument against it is that it stifles innovation, because when people come up with new types of connectors or new ways of transferring data and so forth, then they may not be able to use it. The answer, of course, is remain having charging with a USB-C cable, and then if you want data transfer or anything else, then you can do that on another port. One thing that I hate to break to the European Union as well in saying this is that we're probably coming to the end of charging cables, you know, reasonably soon. Wireless charging is a thing. So they will have to keep this law up to date.
Yeah.
Because what, you know, as wireless charging becomes more popular, there are different standards for wireless charging, and therefore, if they want to do, you know, continue the theme, they're going to have to say, well, this is the standard of wireless charging that things sold in the EU have to support.
I see.
Because you can get one wireless charging pad. It's like a little flat pad, and you put your phone on it, you know, just plonk it down, and it charges it wirelessly. But they're not all the same. You know, there are different standards. So they're going to have to look at that in due course. And Apple may... So Apple makes money out of having its own proprietary connector on it, because then when third parties make cables or chargers or accessories that plug into it, they have to pay Apple a royalty.
I'm very excited about this cableless charging, because, I mean, just from the aesthetic point of view, I hate having all these things attached to other things, you know, making a pile of spaghetti on top of my sideboard half the time. When is the ordinary Joe like me, who's, you know, not at the forefront of technology, but does quite like it to be as good as it can be, going to be doing this?
medium and high-end phones already support it. I mean, if you go out and buy an iPhone now, you can have wireless charging. I have to say, I'm not the greatest fan. I tell you why. It's certainly not in its current incarnation. It's very energy inefficient. Because if you think about it, it's pumping energy into the air that it hopes that a coil will pick up on. Yeah. But it's not as efficient as a wire. So, you know, I don't like that. And also, it just adds to this sort of electromagnetic smog that we live in. You know, all these things are pumping out electromagnetic waves.
There's me worrying about the aesthetics, you see. I'm not thinking through the real stuff, am I?
Well, look, I mean, I think it will come. And I think it won't just be charging. I think we'll be able to power devices as well. You know, you'll start having things like television sets that are wirelessly powered, you know, which is going to be very great. But... you know, as I say, there's two issues with it. One is interference, because the more stuff you know, electromagnetic waves you put there, the more likelihood of interfering with other waves and other wires, in fact. Mm. The other thing is that although the jury is out, I can't imagine it's terribly good for you to absorb all that electromagnetic radiation. I mean, we already absorb a lot. Wi-Fi, of course, it being, you know, a form of that. But with charging, it's a bit different because it has to pump out enough energy to charge something, which is arguably more than just you know, Wi-Fi or whatever. So it's kind of interesting. I personally doubt that the UK is a big enough market, particularly minus Northern Ireland, to warrant some manufacturers doing a UK only version. So we'll probably end up with USB-C devices anyway. There's nothing to say that, you know, they can't sell them in this country. It's up to them what port they put on it. You know, if it complies with EU standards, then what will happen is we'll be de facto complying with the standard in that everything will have USB-C on it anyway. But yeah. we'll have no say in the process.
So it saves the political aspect of it, doesn't it? We didn't have to give in. We didn't have to buckle. You know, it's just, happened.
I think it's negative because now, instead of being part of the group that makes the rules and having input into it, you know,
well, this is what people were saying at the time, wasn't it?
Well, you know, it's this thing about being...
Yeah,
because rule takers or rule makers, we will now be rule takers. We will take the EU standard and have to comply with it. Even though we might not put in place a rule, the reality is that most of the things here will comply with the rule, or will become a dumping ground for the old stock.
We better not go any further down this road, I'm thinking. We'll have a little tune instead, and then we shall do your gadget of the week. It's Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective. Bill Buckley with you, Fevzi Turkalp, gadget detective with you as well. Here comes the gadget of the week, and we've got a security video doorbell dual camera.
Yeah, okay, so this is from Eufy, EUFY. It's a security video doorbell dual camera. So it's a doorbell, but it's one of the doorbells where you can actually see who's at the door and talk to them through a sort of two-way system with a speaker and a microphone in it. Now, those are quite common. This has got a unique feature. It's got two cameras. Why would you want two cameras? The reason is when someone is standing close to your front door, as they must do in order to push the doorbell, unless they then step away, you can pretty much only see them from, well, it depends on the machine, but maybe the waist, at best the knee down. You know, you can't see what's on the floor. So if a package is delivered, for example, you can't see the package, you can't see if it's still there, you can't see if someone's nicked it. So having two cameras, so it's got one camera that points straight ahead, quite a wide view camera, and then on the bottom edge, sort of tilting downwards, it's got a second camera. And actually, when you look at it on a smartphone, it sort of shows you the two camera views together, which show you basically the whole thing from feet all the way up. So it's a really good thing.
Never
it's
thought
quite
of
unique.
That. Yeah, really good idea, yeah.
Yeah, because if you try and make the lens wide enough to encompass the floor, you get the sort of this fisheye effect, you know, where everything is badly distorted at the edges and people look sort of surreal. Two cameras is actually much better in that regard. And you can even adjust the angle of the lower camera. You can adjust the tilt. So all in all, quite good. So it's got the dual cameras. The picture quality is good. It's 2K resolution. That's twice as many dots as a full HD television set. So if you need to zoom in and see a number plate, or you need to do facial recognition of the images, you can do that. It also uses two ways of detecting motion. So a lot of these devices use only what's called passive infrared, or PIR. Rather like systems for home security, you can get dual detect systems that use infrared and radar And what that does is it stops false triggers, you know, because passive infrared can false trigger. It's got package detection, so you notice it works out when there's a package on the floor. It tells you if you don't go and pick it up, it reminds you later. Right. And it sends you a message if someone tries to steal the package, which is kind of good as well. Best of all, there is no monthly fee, because with this device comes a home hub, which it connects to your router, which is basically storage. So it stores everything locally. So first of all, that means privacy. You know, the comings and goings to your home are not recorded up in the cloud, potentially for other people to see if it gets hacked. But it also means you don't have to pay a subscription. And sometimes, you know, if you don't already have a subscription for cameras in your house, you may pay up to, say, £100 a year for a subscription. So having this, I mean, this device costs $229. Having it, you know, as a one-off purchase is really good. The only criticism I have of it, and it's not unique to this system, I think a lot of them have it, is that there is a lag between the time that someone presses the doorbell and the time that you see the alert on your phone and can see them on your phone.
How long a lag is that generally?
It depends. I mean, you know,
how bad can it be?
The danger is, because, you know, delivery drivers are under such pressure, they come and go so quickly
that
they've often gone before you have a chance to speak to them if you need to, you know, like put it in the porch or hide it behind the plant pot or whatever it is, you know, you can't, or I don't want it, go away, you know. So it's not ideal. I think it's a software thing and it's not unique to them. I wouldn't necessarily let it put me off. But what I would say is buy it in such a way that if you're not happy, you can return it. And preferably test it before you screw it to the wall. So then you'll be able to see if that lag works for you or not. It's not unique to them. It's because it's going, you know, through Wi-Fi and the internet and all the rest of it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, do we have a couple of minutes for one more?
Hang on. We haven't done the star rating, though, and the price, have we?
Oh, star rating. Oh, thank you. 229, four stars out. £229,
yes. Not cheap, but as you say, a one-off and 4 stars. Out of 5, okay. And it's that little, that slight time lag that stopped it getting the 4.5.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. It was never going to get 5.
If you could, no, because nothing ever gets 5 with Fevzy. He seems so nice, and he's a right meanie. He's horrible. can you do another one in 1.5 minutes? Because if
course,
you can't,
yes.
go on then.
Affinity Pro is a piece of software that runs on an iPad, or the version I'm looking at runs on iPad, also desktop version for PC and Mac. Comes from a company called Serif, S-E-R-I-F, who've been making software literally for decades. It's a professional standard photo editing app that does most of what Photoshop does. Photoshop is the industry standard. You can't buy Photoshop outright. You have to pay for it on subscription like the other one, and it gets very expensive. This thing you can buy on Apple's App Store for £19.49. Ooh. It has pretty much all the functionality. You can do professional editing on this. No end of what you can do. You can retouch it. The really nice thing is it's compatible with Apple Pencil, so you can do retouching by hand. My grandfather was a professional photographer, used to do it with a paintbrush. You know, he used to retouch images literally with a paintbrush and colorize them by hand. You can do all of that, and it gives you much finer control than with a mouse on a desktop. It's amazing. For £19.49, you know, frankly rude not to buy it, because it's just so much better than... We take so many photos on our devices now. But to be able to just, you know, you can just do basic cropping with it if you want to, but you can do so much more. And it also allows you to edit raw images, which are the highest quality images that your camera can produce, even though they're not standard. You can do that. Four and a half stars out of five.
I was going to say, let me guess, it's got to be a 4.5. Yeah,
you're very good. Cool. 4.5 stars out of 5. Wow. £19.49 for the iPad version.
I know you so well by now. You see, that's what it is. We will do it again in 7 days' time. Thank you so much. There he goes, Fevzy Turkamp, the gadget detective.